Well, let's remain standing for the reading of God's Word. Thank you, Rex and Mark and Nancy. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Speak today on water baptism. Why water baptism? Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. You may be seated. Like just to ponder that question this morning, why water baptism? And I'd like to suggest to you three reasons why you should be baptized in water. The first reason is very simply this: Jesus commanded it. Commanded it. He gave the command in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so we believe in water baptism because Jesus commanded it, and all of the commands are to be obeyed. If there were no other reason to be baptized in water than this, this should be enough. Jesus commanded us to do it. He made the command, and we obey his commands. And baptism is a part of the Great Commission. He told his disciples to go out and teach all nations and baptize the people in those nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So we are partaking and fulfilling the Great Commission by obeying this act. Baptism is a part of the Great Commission. But it takes place after repentance. Peter one day was preaching, and to his audience he said, Repent and be baptized. The order is important. Repentance has to come first. That's why we do not baptize babies. We don't baptize infants because there's no chance for repentance to take place. They don't understand what is going on. They are not able to confess and to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're not able to repent. Repentance is a key theme throughout the Bible. You know, John the Baptist, the first word that he spoke as the forerunner of Christ was the word repent. And when Jesus Christ started his ministry, the first word he ever preached, the first word in his sermon was repent. Repentance is a key theme throughout the Bible. To repent means to stop going in one direction and to start going in a different direction, in another direction. You see, when we repent of our sins, we stop doing those sins and we start following Christ and we start going in the way of righteousness and holiness. We start walking a new way of life. Sometimes people today miss this. They don't understand that true Christianity is a new way of life. It's a complete change. It's a new way of life. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And I believe that it's only after repentance that we can be taught. The scripture says, Turn ye at my reproofs. That's repentance. Turn at my reproofs. When we are going the wrong way, God sometimes sends reproofs, and we run into those reproofs like we run into a wall. And we realize that we are going the wrong way. God is reproving us. And so we repent of that, and we turn, and we start going a different direction. He says, Turn at my reproof. And then he says, I will pour out my spirit unto you. And then he says, I will make known my words unto you. You see, it's only after we repent that we truly understand through the ministry of the Holy Spirit the truths of God's Word, the truths of the Bible. You know, people who try to study the Bible and they've never repented, they've never trusted Jesus Christ for their Savior, they come up with all kinds of weird things and doctrines. They're not being taught, they're not being led by the Spirit. Doctrines of devils, the Bible tells us, will be prevalent in the last days. So you need to repent. If you're here this morning, if you have never repented, I would encourage you today to repent. And then a whole new way of life will be opened up to you. God's Spirit will come inside of you, and the Scriptures, the Bible, will come alive. Now, Jesus commanded this baptism to be done in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Some people baptize in the name of Jesus only. But when the Bible says that the disciples baptized in Jesus' name, it means in His authority, by His command. It's like when a police officer blows a whistle and he says, "Stop! In the name of the law." Why do we stop? Because the police officer has the authority of the law behind him. And that's what baptism is all about. We are baptized because Jesus has given the authority for His disciples to be baptized. His authority. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jesus gave His disciples the task of making disciples and the authority to baptize those disciples. So baptism takes place after repentance. Baptism doesn't save you. Only repentance toward God and faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ can do that. So what does water baptism do? And why did Jesus command it? Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Let's begin looking with verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Those of you that were in my ministry class last Sunday night, can you pick out the elements of time in verses 3 through 5 there? Those of you that were baptized into His death. As you go down in the waters, as you go down in the waters of baptism, you are symbolizing the death of Jesus. We are buried with Him by baptism into death. And as you were held under the water, for 30 or 40 minutes. They say that the worse the sinner is, the longer you have to keep him under. We just dip you and we bring you back up, all right? Nothing to worry about there. I never lost anybody yet, so. But as you are held under the water, burial is symbolized. You are buried in the waters of baptism. You identify with the burial of Jesus Christ. This is important because it gives us power to overcome sin. How many dead people did you ever see sin? I haven't seen any yet. If we are dead to sin, how can we live any longer therein? So, when Satan tempts us to sin, we can go back to our baptism. We can say, on that day, I was baptized. I died to sin. I was buried in the baptism of sin. And now I cannot live in sin any longer. For he that is dead, the Scripture says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And then as you come up out of the water,
Maybe you can guess what this would symbolize. You know, we've talked about the death, the burial, and resurrection, right? As you come out of the water, you are symbolizing the resurrection. You come out to walk in newness of life. Paul said that old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. The future for you after you are baptized is to walk in the likeness of his resurrection, verse 5. So you were baptized, you are buried, and even though you came out of the water and you sensed resurrection life, there will be come a time when that resurrection will be a true reality and that you will be resurrected, the body and the soul united after death to live with God and Christ forevermore. Why should you be baptized? Jesus gave the command. He gave the command. Number two, Jesus demonstrated it. Turn to back to Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So this little discussion takes place. John says, I don't want to baptize you. I'm not worthy. You should baptize me. And Jesus said, this has to be done to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Jesus was baptized. We follow his example. If he needed to be baptized for some reason, we need to be baptized. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized in him. You know, water baptism is a public profession of your faith. That's really what it's all about. You are showing publicly, demonstrating outwardly an inward commitment to follow Christ. That's what you are doing when you are baptized. Yeah, there are those other benefits, but it's a testimony. It's a public profession of your faith. And that's why I like doing it in public. I mean, there have been people that have been baptized in churches, and there's really nothing wrong with that, except for the fact that this way, it's a greater testimony to the world. And when we have often baptized down at Knapp, we've often had a crowd down there watching us, wondering what's going on, what are these people doing? And from time to time, it's given us a chance to explain what we are doing and to share the gospel with them. Water baptism is a public profession of your faith, is an outward act of an inward commitment. Verse 16 says, And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Notice that. Notice that phrase, that terminology. When Jesus, when he was baptized, came straightway out of the water. In other words, he was immersed. And that's what the word baptize literally means. It means to immerse. We don't sprinkle, we dunk. Okay, we put you completely under. We immerse you in the waters of baptism. We follow the example of Jesus. If Jesus was immersed, then that's the way we do it as well. And so why should you be baptized? Well, number one, there was a command. Jesus told you to be baptized. Number two, Jesus showed us by his example that baptism is necessary. He provided the demonstration for us. And number three, God blesses it. You should want to be baptized because God blesses it. Notice there, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him in verse 16. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, why was Jesus baptized anyway? He wasn't a sinner. He just said, It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. What do you mean by that? What he meant was, I'm doing it because I want to obey the Father. He did it out of obedience. He did it to obey his Father. He leads us as a sign of submission, the way we should go. This was a step of obedience in the life of Jesus. And what happened as a result of that obedience? Three things happened to Jesus as a result of that obedience. And I would suggest to you that three similar things will happen to you in any act of obedience. Well, notice the first thing there that happened at the baptism of Jesus was there was a vision. Heaven was opened. The heavens were opened unto him. Right now, the heavens are covered by the sky. But when Jesus was baptized, there was an open heaven. He could look into heaven. The second thing that happened was that there was a visit of a dove that came down upon his head. That came with the real presence of the Holy Spirit upon his life. This was the Spirit of power. This was the Spirit of anointing that came down and rested upon Jesus because of his act of obedience to the will of the Father. There was a vision, there was a visit, and there was a voice. Number three. And the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And everybody heard that voice. Jesus got these three honors at his baptism. Why? Because God wants to show us that when we make the decision to obey God in every area, there are blessings, there are things that happen to us as well. If you obey God in the area of repentance, for example, a door is opened to you from heaven that you didn't know existed. You suddenly see the heavens open and you see a way inside. You see a way to get to heaven, a way that you maybe didn't think was possible before. But because you repented and you obeyed God in the area of repentance, you become a child of God. You are saved and you are bound for heaven. The heavens are open to you. If you obey God, you get the Holy Spirit, the very nature of God coming into your life. The Bible says that we become partakers of the divine nature. So the Holy Spirit comes in, and God comes into us by his Spirit. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Please listen to me this morning. This, I believe, is the crucial part of the message for those of you who have already been baptized. Every time you make a difficult decision to obey God, God has a blessing awaiting for you, a greater fullness of the Holy Spirit. On the other side, we have more of a desire to do right. We have more power over sin because we have more of the Holy Spirit, more fullness. We have more grace in our life. And so there's this act of obedience that God is calling us to do, and we are standing on this side of the door. And sometimes there's this struggle that goes on in between within us. Are we going to obey God or not? But if we walk through the door of obedience, there is a blessing that awaits on the other side. We will never experience that blessing if we stay on this side. If there are some of you here today and you have never been baptized in water as an adult with the understanding, I want you to know today that you are standing on this side of the door. And if you would be obedient to the Lord in this area of your life and walk through the door, there is a blessing that is on the other side. The blessing is that heaven will be open to you. The blessing is that because you are obedient, you will receive more of the Holy Spirit. In any area of your life that's like that, there's a struggle of obedience, but when we give in and we obey on the other side, there is blessing. The only thing that would keep us from the blessing is our own will. But do you know what the secret of all happiness is? It's knowing that your life is pleasing to God. Just think how Jesus must have felt when the Father announced his approval and pleasure. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." If you want that kind of walk with the Lord where the Spirit of God ministers the word of the Father to you saying, "I am pleased with you," or that sense of peace that you're walking God's way, if you want that source of joy, then you must obey. you have to obey. That means that there is a tremendous load of blessings waiting for you. It's like a big dump truck of blessings that God wants to bring into your life. But there is only one thing that stands in the way: your unwillingness to obey God in some area of your life. If God brings to your attention some sin today, if you make the decision to give that sin up, God is going to rain blessings in your life. If God has been prompting you and encouraging you to do something, and if you give in and you obey and you do that, new blessings will rain in your life. Every time there's been a struggle in my life, when I finally gave in and obeyed God, a time of outpouring of God's Spirit has followed. But it all starts with repentance. Trust Him for salvation. And do that publicly. And the heavens will be open and there will be blessings for you. Why water baptism? Why should you be baptized in water today? Because number one, you would be obeying a command of Jesus to be baptized. Number two, you would be following the example of Jesus. He gave the demonstration. And number three, because of the blessings in your life that come as a result of obeying God in this area. The story is told of the explorer who some years ago had just returned to his country from the Amazon. I've told this story once before, so if you remember it, just bear with me. I only get a chance to say it around water baptism time, so here we go. The people at home are eager to learn all about this vast and mighty river and the country surrounding it. How, he wondered, could he ever describe it to them? How could he ever put into words the feelings that flooded into his heart when he saw the exotic flowers and heard the night sounds of the jungle? How could he communicate to them the smells that filled the air and the sense of danger and excitement that would come whenever he and his fellow explorers encountered strange animals or paddled through treacherous rapids? So the explorer did what all good explorers do. He said to the people, "Go and find out for yourselves what it is like." And to help them, he drew a map of the river, pointing out the various features of its course and describing some of the dangers and some of the routes that could be used to avoid those dangers. The people took the map and they framed it and hung it on the wall of a local science museum so that everyone could look at it. Some made copies of it. After a period of time, many of those who made copies for themselves considered themselves experts on the river. And indeed, they knew its every turn and bend. They knew how broad it was and how deep, where the rapids were and where the falls were. They knew the river and they instructed others in what it was like whenever those people indicated an interest in it. I think that many people today are in the same situation. We know the scriptures, but we don't understand them. And we do not understand them because we have not been there. We must not simply look at the scriptures and their meaning. We must not frame this, put it on a coffee table, pretend to know all about it. We must go there. We must live out the scriptures. They must become a part of our life. We must experience what it means to be baptized in water. Oh, we can say, you know, baptism, it's a tremendous thing. It's a great thing. And we can show people from the Bible what it's like. And we can talk about the experience of others. But until we have experienced it ourselves, we really don't know what it's like. Why would you this morning take the map down from the wall and go to the river with me? See what is there. Experience baptism for yourself. Or would you take the map down from the wall and not look at the experiences of others in other areas of your life? And would you make those experiences your experiences through obedience to the words and commands of Christ? Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Is there some area of your life that you know you're not being obedient to the Lord in? I would encourage you today to surrender your will. Surrender your will. Walk through the door of obedience. I can guarantee you that on the other side is a blessing. It's there, it's waiting for you. If you would simply go through the door of obedience. Of course, the first area that you need to obey, as I've already mentioned, is the area of repentance. If you've never done that, I would encourage you right now where you're at. Say, Jesus, I repent of my sins. Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins. Would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me in the blood of Jesus Christ? See, it's repentance toward God and faith in Jesus, what Jesus has done. Put your faith, put your trust there. And then start walking a new way of life. Show that your repentance is real. Show it to be true. Show it to be genuine. Tell somebody about that decision today. Make it public. If you're here today and you've not been baptized in water and you haven't talked to me yet, but you think this is maybe something you would like to do, I would still consider baptizing you today. Maybe you're not prepared. We'll give you time to get some clothes or whatever. Just come and talk to me. I don't want anybody to miss out. Don't just be a bystander. Take the map off the wall. Go on the journey yourself. Father, you know how many decisions are being made today. What decisions of obedience are being made. Lord, I pray, Lord, that each one would be able to right now get past their will. And with an act of their will, say, Lord, I will obey. I will be obedient. And then, Lord, give them the grace to actually carry it out. And then pour out a blessing as they reach the other side. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I'd like to sing Trust and Obey. If you'd take your songbooks today, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Page 195.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all the fourth verse.
But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for to trust and obey. what he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Lord, I'm going to ask Wayne Hagen to dismiss us in prayer, and then you may be dismissed to go to the park, and we'll hope to see you all there.
Father, we thank you for this day. Just through the rest of this month.